Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, hi everyone. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. It's absolutely delightful to have you with us. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore's here.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
Jim Campbell's not Pete Donaldson.
I'm Marcus Speller.
And Pete Donaldson is here.
I'm riotously naked.
Hello, everybody. We're all naked. Some more than others,
Marcus,
though.
Marcus, you genuinely turned up. You know we're going to start with this. Yep. You genuinely turned up to the office earlier with your top off.
Prove it.
In November, yep. No less. Yep.
It gave me the Horncastle.
To be fair, though, his body hair is like a shirt, isn't it?
It's a hair shirt, isn't
it? A hair shirt.
Yeah. I walked straight past security. They never noticed.
You look magnificent, Marcus. I think you might have lost a bit of weight. Is that fair?
It is very fair.
Or have you had a bit of a trim?
he's lost a bit of weight, but none of his pace.
There we are.
I must say, guys, me and Jim aren't involved on the continent, but I did enjoy On the Continent this week. It had everything. I had the schadenfreude of James Horncastle losing out on a big chunk of change. Yeah. Italy not.
We actually named the episode Italy Hit Horncastle in the Pocket.
Like the pathos of Daniel De Rossi's medal going in the kit.
That was very nice.
Coffin. Oh, yeah. And a mention of Thomas Brolin and Kenny Pavey. I mean, what else do you need?
Oh, yeah. Sure. I did get a mention of Thomas Brolin in there.
Give it a listen at OTCpod on Twitter or go and find it by searching On the Continent wherever you get your podcasts.
I worry that recent listeners don't even know who Kenny Pavey is.
Well, they should. Quite frankly,
they should do. I mean, he's one of the two guests we've actually had on the show live.
Yeah.
Kenny Pavey, who was the other?
Dean Windass. And Kenny Pavey, of course, did play in central midfield for England against Brazil earlier in the week. And so if you don't know who he is by now, there's no hope for you.
Yeah, that is poor. If England drew Sweden in the group stages
of
the World Cup.
When England drew
Sweden. Yeah, that's true. Then Pavey'd be the man. He'd be the go-to man.
Yeah,
trying to get you some work, Ken. just in case. But of course, England did play a team in yellow the other day. We were there, Luke, independently of each other. Let's make that clear. Both paid for our tickets, which is a disgrace to the corporates.
I went. I did pay for my ticket, and I went with a friend of the Ramble, Steve Grant,
Stevie G,
who is a Southampton fan. So we're building bridges across the Portsmouth Southampton divide, and
sowing the seeds of love.
And the bridges I then burned by on all the social media posts I posted about it, referring to him as fellow Portsmouth fan, Steve Grant.
Nice. At least you didn't call him a scummer.
No, he wasn't happy with that.
Rather than building bridges to those places, should we not maybe just put a wall around it?
Yeah.
To sort of brick it up.
Build a wall.
Yeah. Build a wall. Pete bought some of the land around one of the cities. So
against humanity.
I was at the game. You were at the game also.
Yes.
I thought England did okay. And get it out of the way before Pete comes in.
Well, let's talk about the...
I enjoyed both matches, both the Germany match and the Brazil match.
I want to talk about the Brazilian sort of carnival people coming in before the game.
That the was carnival people?
Yeah. I didn't see that. I must have seen that later.
Well, I assume it was Brazil. Bring it to life, Marcus.
You seem rather despondent about the whole thing.
You had the old Samba bag coming in with the dancers go around the pitch. And I was thinking to myself, they don't normally have this. Oh, yes, for Brazil.
Yeah. we're trying to pretend we're always this cool.
I think so. This is Southgate, one of his initiatives. Yeah. We need young players and we need the Samba people.
This isn't the Remembrance observation. No, it's a bit inappropriate. Oh, no, that was on Friday. Oh, fair enough. Okay.
They did a bit of that as well. We should
But the England band were right near where I was sat, so that was annoying.
Sorry to hear that, mate.
And and Steve, who I went with, who goes to England home and away and spends an awful lot of money travelling to watch England, and good for him, good on him for doing that. Mm-hmm. He was saying to me, now, I don't know if it's... I mean, I've got no reason to suspect he was lying about it, but he said the England man get paid. They get paid to go. The travel's paid for. The tickets are paid for. Everything.
I mean, they're sponsored, aren't they? Or certainly have been.
So it's
in the
not
past.
A big. It's not hang a big a, outlay for them.
Hang on a bit. How many instruments have you got, Pete? You must have a few.
Yeah, that's.
We could. Be,
yeah, we can make a little band, can't we? Yeah.
He's got two pianos.
We could England band.
Well, we can't be any worse because.
It genuinely makes me not want to watch.
This is different from doing a World Cup song as well. I think we should make that very clear.
But what I'm saying is, each one of us could just select an instrument,
even just something to hit.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about probably Pete for that.
What is the worst? What is the worst England song though? What is the worst England band song? I think it might be Self-Preservation Society. It's off key. It's depressing. It pisses me the hell off.
The Great Escape as well.
Yeah.
Because that's so negative,
that's
isn't it?
That's the same thing, isn't it?
Is it not?
No.
I'll be honest with you. They all sort of drone into one, don't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think the England band are all right. Oh, shut up.
I think they're okay.
That is too far of your England support.
That is too far.
And if they do
you can't be trusted.
And you are looking for a front man.
He does an amazing array of Oasis numbers. But do you know what? I think I'm probably less sort of virulent in my dislike or distaste for the England band because I've grown up with John Westwood.
Yeah.
With the bugle. Right.
Weren't you pictured with John Westwood?
I wasn't pictured with him.
Oh, was that a Pete Photoshop?
I don't think I've ever heard John Westwood play a note. Is he good?
Well, he plays a bugle badly.
Right. Can you play a bugle badly?
Surely the bell could join the England band, and I mean that in a number of senses.
The thing is, people will say the guy with the bell to refer to him, but the last couple of times I've been in his company, shall we say,
the bugle extended company,
it was in his front room and there was no, he was playing a bugle, so
right.
I'll stop to you. But anyway,
he's England, a bugle boy now.
England against Brazil was a good game. Brazil are better than England.
It wasn't a good game in terms of entertainment.
I thought it was okay. No, I thought it started slowly, but it was okay.
Fans of Joe Gomez enjoyed it.
Well, they were done, yeah.
He did very well. Joseph Dave Gomez, which is his name. Not David, Dave. I like that. That is good. That is lovely to see. But yeah, another defender who can slot into that back three. And, I mean, look, England have played the world champions and the World Cup favourites and not conceded. And
without a three biggest goal threats as well. So, that's like a 3-0 win.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't have a lot of chances. Well, maybe in the Germany match more than Brazil. And maybe near the end we carved out a couple. But...
You're right.
When the ball dropped to Solanke, I appreciate it got stuck under his feet, but if he'd have put that away.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, I think
on
the biggest positive is the mentality, though, because Gareth Southgate was saying in the week, it was between two games, that he remembers the game in 2002 in Japan and Korea when England played Brazil, and he said he could tell, like, when they saw the Brazil players, the squad was sort of in awe of,
First half good, second half not so good.
Yeah, very much so. And he just knew when they went 2-1 down, that was it. It's like they never really believed they'd win. So he's trying to sort of, change that mentality or sort of certainly make that different in this squad. And Tite said they were like ice, really cold. They never lost their minds. And that is exactly what we should be doing about now.
Yeah, and I think he's right, and I think that's a good point. And to me, it looked to me, from where I was sat, very obviously, England were working very hard on their shape.
Yes.
Their defensive shape.
Which
their,
is so crucial.
Movement. Because you do have to understand, I think, that unless you are Brazil or Germany, where you could, or perhaps Spain, where you could legitimately argue that you are in that conversation to be the best team in the world, England aren't that, and they're not going to be that between now and the summer. So they need to work out a way of making it very difficult for teams that are better than them. Because if it goes as we want it to go, we're going to get into knockout football, and we need to find a way of beating these teams. Now, it may well be you do what you did against Brazil if you get drawn against them. And of course, Pete's right, we didn't create much, but you are keeping yourself so solid and defending so well and just hoping you nick something.
Absolutely.
Because England, of course, England's record on penalties is the worst in the world of all the big nations, I think. So that's not really an option at
this
stage.
The worst in the world, full stop, I think.
Yeah, it probably is.
Well, unless maybe there's a side who have played one penalty shootout and lost it.
But that's what they've got to do, isn't it, Mark?
Because
they've got to work like that and try. And that's why I think the point I made earlier in the week about picking defenders in those sorts of games who are used to defending for the whole game might actually be more beneficial. Because With John Stones aside, who's this ball-playing centre-back who I think is really important, other than that, you don't want someone who's just used to floating around the game at the back, pushing up to the halfway line, watching the goals go in. Like, you need someone who knows how to defend properly,
Absolutely right.
So, and if you think of a player like Harry Maguire, you would hope under his current coach, Puel at Leicester, they're going to spend an awful lot more time working on defending set pieces than maybe one or two other teams are. So it might stand us in good stead. Now, and I was very encouraged by the performance. I don't accept that it was a boring game. I thought it started quite slowly. But to me, the shape was really interesting. The way they dealt with Brazil and Coutinho and Neymar and Firmino who came on and Fernandinho. All these players are fantastic players.
Yeah, Jesus as well.
That was, and I think that was probably Brazil's strongest team.
Yeah, oh, they've played a very, very strong side. And of course, Brazil can step up a gear because we're not under any illusion that England are anywhere near the quality that they are. But Neymar himself said afterwards, you know, they tried everything. Now, of course, if that's a World Cup game, then you would see a bit more intensity from Brazil and so on and so forth. But England were missing very crucial players as well. So with regards to the, you know, the defensive check, absolutely. But England didn't have their most sort of creative or better players going forward. And I think it is encouraging, you know, and it's okay to get a bit of encouragement out of a performance like that.
Well, it's okay to you know, want to enjoy a World Cup, you know, which is, I guess, what we're boiling that down to.
But the point I'm making, I think, Jim, is that you're absolutely right. It's okay to get a bit of encouragement from that, because I think England would think, in years gone by, and a few years gone by, oh, well, we didn't win the game, and oh, are we challenging? And that is the sober nature of Gareth Southgate's approach. It's a case of, right, we have to realise that we are not... Look at the Premier League, for crying out loud. Look at the way some teams, you know, when... I don't know. So look at, Sean Dyche and Burnley. When they go away to a side, or when they play a Manchester City or whoever it may be, I know they got beaten off Man City, but when they play a better side, they think, well, we can't just take the game to this lot.
Yeah.
Okay, Burnley, not a great example, but you have to find a way of winning. And I think England have sort of said, right, we'll just go toe-to-toe with them and see. And then you just get outgunned.
Well, the two things that need to happen. One is exactly what happened against Brazil. They have to do that, and they have to hope they'll nick a goal, because that's the realistic...
And that's possible.
Yeah, of course it is. And that's a realistic way of approaching it. Second, they need to do it against lesser teams, perhaps in the group stages. I mean, England could draw Iceland. You know, they could draw
an
Australia, a Japan, someone like that. You need to play against them with a tempo.
Yeah, of course.
So they can take the game to those sort of teams. And those sort of teams are going to do what we're doing to Brazil to us. Mm. And we then need to move the ball quick, stretch them around, play with a tempo. If you can do two of those things, neither of which are completely unattainable, you can have a reasonably successful summer next summer. And what I mean by that is, you know, a quarter final or something like that. And then once you get to the quarter final, you don't know what's going to happen. That's what they absolutely have to do. England are now 16-1 with Bet365 to lift next year's World Cup.
Oh!
£10 will return £170, including stake. Get on that and sail it all the way home.
All the way back to England. England will be in pot two for the draw on the 1st of December. So they will face a team from pot one. And the teams in pot one are Russia, Germany, Brazil, Portugal, Argentina, Belgium, Poland or France. But Spain are in pot two. Mm. And Spain always give us a hiding.
So yes. we could. I mean, it's funny when these pots comes out, and I'm very excited for the draw. It's always a great
the draw's brilliant.
It's a great moment.
I think that is the best wonderful. Bit of it.
Oh, when is
being
the draw?
Being an England fan. Yeah.
When is the draw?
The 1st of December.
Yay! Yeah.
So we could get. I mean, feasibly we could get Poland, Tunisia, and Panama. But we also could get Germany, Denmark, and Serbia or Nigeria or something. It would be a difficult one.
Of course, there's a lot of combinations at this moment.
Because there was a group, we were talking on the continent earlier in the week about Christian Eriksen and Denmark. Did you see the group? You'll probably remember this, Marcus, because you've got a good memory for this sort of stuff. Maybe one of you will anyway. The group that Denmark had in Euro 2012 was absolutely ridiculous.
When Euro 2012, were they with the Dutch?
I'll tell you, hang on a second.
No, they weren't with the Dutch. They were...
Yeah, they were with the Dutch.
Germany... Portugal.
It was an unbelievable group.
That's Germany, right. Portugal and the Netherlands. And Germany and Portugal went through.
And Denmark ended up coming, I think they came third in their group behind Germany and Portugal, as you say. Yeah. But I mean, imagine that. I mean, I know the Euros is generally quite a much higher standard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But still, it was then anyway. But that is an unbelievable group.
Well, I mean, you know, broadly speaking, there is a group of death, and it just dampens your expectations.
Well, England had it in 2002 with Argentina, Nigeria and Sweden, because it was quite a strong Swedish side and a strong Nigerian side. And England finished second, and I think Sweden topped the group.
Yeah.
Mm. You never know.
Because it's such a rarefied atmosphere and such a short-term thing, you lose your first game or whatever, you almost... I mean, I don't know how the mass will work out, but if you lose your first game, which is eminently possible because it's the first game in the World Cup, you can say goodbye to coming top of the group.
I'm more worried about the order of the games rather than the actual who's in our group, because chances are we'll play... just to do with your schedule. No, but yeah. Like when we drew 0-0 against Russia, and then the pressure was on. Oh, was it 1-1?
One all.
Yeah, one all. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Then the pressure's on. You're like, ah.
You want you want a lovely easy one.
Yeah.
You want a lovely easy one.
Well,
to start
or you want a hard one that you really go all guns blazing. I don't.
Just like in 2014 when England were beaten by Italy and it worked out okay. Neither side. It worked out okay for
exactly.
My goodness. Yeah, well, England are there, of course, and Australia are there. They've qualified.
With the worst ever hat-trick.
Oh, I honestly think, like,
shake your money maker.
Some sort of special dispensation there that means if your hat-trick is like that, you don't get the ball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I suppose he has to put it in the net, but like a deflected free kick and then two pens.
Yeah, but I saw like Australia went through with a Jedinek hat trick. What? Yeah, and then I watched it and was like, actually, this makes perfect sense. This is all this could have been.
Got to do what you got to do, Jim.
Of course. Well, it's taken them a long. I mean, Australia, you've got to understand, it's almost similar to the South America thing. It's a long time to qualify.
Yeah.
It's a long old road.
Well, they've not given themselves the best of chances because they've had to play two playoff games, of course, but 22 matches in nearly 2.5 years to qualify.
Yeah.
And they've earned a lot.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
A lot of air miles there.
Right, they've earned it. And a lot of their European-based players, of course, they've been all around the globe. But they're there, and they were worthy winners, of course, against Honduras. So well done to them. Peru, they've gone through. New Zealand did not. And we suspected this, didn't we? Mm. Yeah, it didn't help that there was a big group of Peruvians setting off fireworks outside the New Zealand hotel at 3 in the morning.
Have you seen the video?
The video footage, it looks like it's the Vietnam War.
It's amazing, because the fireworks are hitting the hotel. Like, yeah. It's not like they're nearby.
You've got to have a decoy.
Fair to say the Peruvian police turning a blind eye?
Well, you know, this isn't the only thing they did. They
it was also, the coppers.
They got some local shamans to put a curse on the New Zealand team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And apparently on the morning of the match, when New Zealand team arrived, there were basically like three like fighter jets flew over, I think, the team's hotel, which had Vamos Peru written on the underside of the wings. Man. So like the military having a dig.
I mean,
it's serious, isn't it?
I mean, they go really fast. Would you even see that? It's hardly arson out, is it?
Yeah, yeah, true.
Or at least have arson on one of the planes and then
they've
out
got
on
that wrong.
One.
What was that? I don't know.
Not a clue.
Yeah, they need the old two-seater chugging over top.
Is this the first time Peru have qualified since 1982? I think it is, isn't it? Which is an amazing achievement for them. Because I literally never remember having seen them in the World Cup because I wouldn't have done. So great to see what they come up with. I think presumably a 2-1 win against England.
Yeah. I think they'll bring more to the World Cup than New Zealand would have, with all respect to them.
Out of order?
Yeah.
Well, no, you're saying respect. It doesn't mean...
But I've said it now. Yeah. So that covers me. if any of the hobbits kick off. Yeah. They look at an entertaining team. They've got a player called Christian Cueva who plays for Sao Paulo, who looks a real handful, and he was involved in both of the goals. And
is he a Rory Fallon though? Is he Rory Fallon?
No, he's not. Hence, he'll be at the World Cup.
Yeah.
But Jefferson Farfán scored the goal. We spoke about him, and did you see he cried and he held up Paulo Guerrero's shirt as well. It was all very emotional.
It was sort of Neymar-esque, wasn't it, when the Brazilians did that ahead of their
and that went well.
Their unsuccessful semi-final appearance.
I'm pleased for Peru to be there. I've got an affinity with New Zealand as well. I'd like to have seen them there, but
Nobby Solano, come on,
he's not going to be there.
He'd be in the staff, the backroom staff.
The trumpet.
Yeah. He's the Peruvian band.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant if he was.
He's in the backroom staff.
Oh, good, okay.
On the Peru national side.
So Ricardo Gareca, their coach, I'm calling it now, he's going to be fun. He looks really? Very, very 80s. He might be a sort of bit of a half. We might go, everyone will be talking about the coach, like the Mexican coach from last time.
Will he look as good as Javier Renard?
Imagine
of course he takes his top off.
Imagine if they have a standoff.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be brilliant.
I think we've started talking about Harvey Renard more since I found a sort of framed picture of Harvey Renard underneath my sofa and I brought it into Ramble HQ. So
it's got love hearts.
It's got love hearts on it. Yeah.
Well, me being topless earlier was a nod to Big Harvey.
An homage.
A Harvage. but Argentina, speaking of South American sides, they were beaten 4-2. In a friendly by Nigeria. Nigeria looking not too shabby at all. But the big story, of course, here is that Diego Maradona thinks that current manager Jorge Sampaoli should go and that Diego himself should replace him.
In what world is that the big story?
I know. In the Ramble world.
In the world of Diego Corner.
Oh, how I miss it. Diego posted on social media a list of Argentina managers with their win percentages. Diego's 75% win ratio was the best. Even though they struggled to qualify.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It was that wonderful win against Peru, and then I think they beat Uruguay 1-0 after. But then they were humbled by Germany, as were England, of course, at the same World Cup. But he ended the post by saying, I want to return.
Mm. His win record is actually 73%.
Was it 73%?
Yeah. Really? Because he won. Yeah, so I think he might have doctored that.
That's incredible.
Hey, Kane, shoot across the goal.
Yeah.
If you want more goals,
I mean, that was a week before his. Where's he? Is UAE? You know.
He's working
over there somewhere.
Do you want to know what his other win percentage records are in Argentina?
Go on.
8% and 18%.
What do you mean? As in
wait, he managed clubs in Argentina.
But what I like about like Diego, like he's only just started the season with his actual team, and now he's like, I want to go a World Cup.
Yeah.
I want to manage a World Cup.
He's almost like a Donald Trump type character. As well. he can't stop talking.
Very whimsical, emotionally led, does what he wants. But
I mean, if he gets to Russia, he'll have a payday, won't he? There'll be enough stuff.
He'll be there. Don't you worry about that. He'll be sitting next to Big Vlad. Opening game.
Currently, Argentina are 8-1 with Bet365 to win next year's World Cup. £10 will return £90, including the stake. I don't know how that's going to change if Maradona gets the job.
Yeah.
I think it's unlikely to happen anyway.
Yeah. Well, they were 2-0 up and lost 4-2 to Nigeria. They were underwhelming again. So,
well, Mark has maybe identified something that perhaps other people are speaking about. I don't know, that they seem to be light in midfield.
Mm.
You look at the, I know it doesn't really necessarily pay to look at that type of stuff, but you look at the recognisable names in that midfield and that squad. It's Ava Banega, one or two other. Mascherano, who plays at the back anyway.
Plays at the back.
Di Maria, who's like a forward when he plays.
And they'll probably play with three up front, and I would imagine, will Di Maria play on the wing? Perhaps not. They would be probably wise to play him in a midfield position.
But do we think Nigeria might be dark horses then?
They could well be. I think they're a decent side. Why have you got two?
Yeah, you got a brace.
They're a pot four side.
Yeah, show too.
I would think teams would want to avoid Nigeria.
Yeah.
Pot four, and they've got some great players.
Mm.
You know.
That's a worry, that, isn't it?
Does Yakubu fancy it? That's all I'm saying. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
But the pots are done on FIFA rankings, right? With Russia instilled at the top because they're host. So if you're a host, you become pot one.
That's why Spain are in pot two.
You'd ideally like to be getting Russia. Probably.
Yeah, Russia, maybe Poland, maybe even Portugal. But
Peru are 10th in the world.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's crazy. Like, Nigeria pop four because they're 41st in the world. And it's partly to do with this manipulation of the friendly system.
Where you play certain friendlies
to get certain ranking points. And Italy have fallen massively foul of that by not performing at all in friendlies, getting hit hard for ranking points.
Yeah.
And then they got drawn with Spain in their qualification group.
It's only going to get worse now as well.
Yeah, well, quite, exactly.
There we are. And now it's going to get a lot better because it's time for correspondence with Petey.
I think so.
PD!
Hello to Jonathan. Hello, Jonathan. He ends the email by saying Warshawler Hall of Fame, so that's how that one got through. Hi, guys. The referee for the Blackpool versus Portsmouth game was unluckily... Did you say this? Unluckily named the name of the referee who was going to be referee.
Oh, was it Ben Toner?
Ben Toner?
Yeah.
At Blackpool?
Yeah.
The week after Blackpool had won their court case over the Old Honours. Fantastic. Yeah. And the EFL swiftly changed the referee to John Moss. Not as much fun.
It took me ages to get that because I was thinking, what, some sort of like printer-based thing? He's like, it's Toner.
Printing out a contract with... No. But yeah, fantastic. Thank you for that, Jonathan. Hello to Cam. Come on, you all whites, referring to...
Out of date now.
New Zealand had a flag referendum in 2016 to see if there was a public desire to change said flag. Prior to the referendum, the public were asked to submit designs for the possible new flag, which went about as well as you would think. One of the designs, affectionately dubbed Laser Kiwi, attached, was basically a kiwi with lasers coming out of its eyes. And at the at the first leg of the Peru playoff, somebody made a massive flag of a kiwi firing a laser out of its eyes. And the Peruvians just couldn't understand what the hell was going on.
It's basically like the whole Boaty McBoatface type thing. Don't put that stuff to internet public debate.
Well, I think, Ferry McFerryface was made quite recently. I think that might have, either New Zealand or Australia, they had a public vote and they went for McFerryface or something. Ferry McFerryface.
Right.
And they actually put Ferry McFerryface on the ship. So
the Boaty McBoatface thing.
They can be trusted.
Well, the Boaty McBoatface thing, was that not changed? They obviously said, "Oh yeah, very funny, ha ha." Mm. We're not doing that. But then they named
a submersible
Boaty McBoatface. Yeah, instead. Yeah.
I'm not having that though. You either do it or you don't.
Speaking of the sort of laser stuff, it reminds me of something you sent us on the WhatsApp group, Peter. Pre-order now your team robot. The Newcastle United team robot. What is this about?
I didn't send this.
No, you sent this one.
I can't remember. Someone sent it. Yeah, and I was hoping people would know about it because it's robots and Newcastle.
I know, and Sports Direct.
If you don't know about this, retire.
Delete your account. As I said at the time, I don't know what it is, but my bank has automatically
direct debited
money out of my account for it. So there we go.
Well, listen, more news as we get it.
It looks like some kind of like international, kind of possibly European robot football tournament that Newcastle United are involved in, or just basically you can buy a cheap Sports Direct robot that's got Newcastle United branded on it.
Have you seen that the US are saying that they're might organise a big tournament to happen in the US at the same time as the World Cup with teams that haven't qualified.
Is this direct from the President's office?
It's tragic. It is tragic that. Don't do that.
Is that actually a thing?
Let's talk of it.
It'd be good teams. It'd be a good tournament though, wouldn't it?
Would it?
What?
Why you're automatically attracted to a tournament for losers.
Chile.
Netherlands. Italy. US.
Yeah.
Scotland.
Rory Fallon's New Zealand.
Huge.
Scotland, yeah.
Huge if true.
They'd probably rather qualify for that. Yeah. What else have you got, PD?
Nick Abel-Smith, finally, for now, I have to report on a new law for watchers of England football. I hope it wasn't you guys. I went to Wembley on Tuesday, and particularly it was attritional fair. Board fans assembled paper planes. I don't like this paper planes nonsense. We had the
ultimate hit
a plate. It was a Peruvian guy,
wasn't it?
Yeah, what I wasn't expecting was that the extremely high concentration of planes coming down from near me was due to the book a few seats down proudly handing out paper from a pad he had bought especially for the occasion.
I was wondering where the paper was coming from.
I went to my first sort of cricket match. I went to my first cricket match last year, and it just seems to be... I understand that people get drunk, but it just seems to be people showing off. Really unimaginative people in costumes running around and saying, look at me, everyone. And everyone going, hey, and nobody really watching the cricket.
How's your Edward Scissorhands outfit? You see the headlines now. Donaldson slams cricket.
That's going to say,
it seems like the perfect sporting arena for you.
I like drinking, but I don't... I don't like the peacocking from boring people. I like a costume,
yeah.
But when costumes
you're wearing one
are
now.
Allowed. Not having it.
Pete at thefootballramble.com.
No, show at thefootballramble.com if you want to get involved with the show, if you want to give me a going for gold. I do have quite a few now. Thank you very much for everyone who got involved. Pete at thefootballramble.com.
There we are. We're going to talk about the Premier League, ladies and gentlemen.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I never felt this bad ever.
Time to look ahead to the Premier League, everybody. Oh. Never gets boring.
Gets me every time, that.
you don't expect it, right. That's the thing.
Of course, Tim Sherwood's former club Spurs are kicking off against Arsenal at Arsenal in the Premier League this weekend. It gets the weekend off to a flyer, Jim. First North London derby of the season. Spurs will be favourites, although Wenger says they're not underdogs, as in Arsenal.
Yeah. Well, I think...
see how that one pans out.
Yeah. Well, indeed. Well, I mean, Arsenal are on their longest non-winning streak against Spurs in the Premier League. 6 games now. I don't think Arsenal at home will go in as underdogs, because Pochettino, every time he's played at the Emirates, it's been a draw. So... who knows, though? I mean, Spurs are very clearly the better team at the moment, so it's.
I think that's the point
to worry.
Kane, Ali, and Winks are conveniently expected to be fit. Mm.
Weird, that, isn't it?
Treasonous. Yeah. Treasonous melts. They should be banned.
How can you be called Harry Billy Weeks and not Winks and not want to play for England?
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. I mean,
maybe he was busy, I don't know, in an RAF fighter jet or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's reasonable. We talked about this before the international break, and I read that, and Southgate was very sort of vociferous saying that. No, they are injured. Mm-hmm. And we don't know if they're going to be fit for the North London derby. That's not my problem, but they are injured.
I don't trust a man who wears a customised suit.
Customised.
A customised bespoke suit that's clearly supplied to him by England because they're rich.
Yeah.
And he wears bloody a belt.
Well, there are different...
You shouldn't even have but belt
Pete,
hooks.
Do you consider him dressing up for the occasion then or something?
Dreadful.
What I was going to say was...
Very Bateman.
The belt hooks thing is the interesting angle here, because if a suit trouser is provided with belt loops, you are supposed to wear a belt with it. But if he's got a proper custom bespoke suit, he shouldn't have belt loops at all.
He shouldn't have belt loops at all. Exactly. I mean, you can have
it's a conundrum.
Fade, obviously. They should have tighteners. That you can have little kind of those little things that.
That's what I got in my suit. Tighteners at the side. Yeah, you
just better.
Yeah, I don't need them.
A lot of suits do have the old belt loops though.
They do, but they're off the rack.
They're off the rack, isn't
it? Oh, I see what you mean. Sorry. Christian Eriksen. He's the crucial man, isn't he, after that hat-trick against Ireland?
He's a bespoke attacking midfielder.
Certainly is.
You could design one from scratch.
Some of those goals, like, was it the third one where he lashed it into the top corner?
I can't remember, it was a real amazing sort of acceleration over a short distance. And then pile drive with real precision.
Did he not get given the sort of comedy own goal that was scored as well?
Oh, really?
No, I don't think he did, but I mean, maybe because it hit the post, came out, hit the defender and went in. That was him as well, wasn't it? So he almost got like 3.5 goals.
Was it a better hat-trick than
Yes. Jury's out.
We haven't touched on Ireland, and I do feel sorry for them, but I have to say, you know, again, with the World Cup, like, you do want the real box office big players, and in Nicholas Benton, Denmark have that. And,
it was lovely to see him scoring. Lovely to see him getting a goal.
He's had a great season.
5-1, even Benton scored.
Yeah. You know? You're talking about David Myler.
Is Benton still on Arsenal's books? No, I don't know. Get him off the bench, maybe. Jan Vertonghen has declared himself fit for the match, which is a plus for Spurs, of course. So all their players seem to be coming back. Well, not all of them. They've still got a few injuries. But they could have a strong side, you would
expect. Yeah, oh, absolutely, they'll have a strong side. I think the fullbacks battle is going to be really interesting here, because Kolasinac and Hector Bellerin have been great this season. And Kolasinac is obviously a tank, and this is his first game against Spurs. So it'd be good to see how that pans out. I really want to see Lacazette in this game, because there's this bizarre situation Arsenal seem to be getting into where he doesn't play in the bigger games. And as we've touched on, and he's scored a couple of goals for France, the second of which was magnificent.
He's scored a brace against Germany. Dummy. What more does he need to do?
If he's not picked against Spurs, I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. What's going on?
And Giroud is a slight knock. He may well be
Danny Welbeck's back, so... maybe he'll get a go. I don't know. But Lacazette, as we said, he's the most likely to get you a goal out of a half chance.
Does Wenger really want the France job? Is that why he kind of favours Giroud over Lacazette? Because obviously that occasionally happens in the French
maybe.
It's so bizarre.
Maybe that's it.
Wenger did say, didn't he, that he hinted that he'd like to manage at a World Cup one day. Yes. And, you know, fancies international management. But he's not doing that right now.
No,
he needs to focus
on
the task at hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which he's been focusing on for quite a while.
The draw in the North London Derby is currently 5-2, so £10 with Bet365 will return £35, including stakes. A fascinating game, this. I'm looking forward to it. It's been a great way to kick off the weekend.
Absolutely right. And Petr Cech reckons Spurs need to win a trophy to show the progression they've made.
Everyone says that. Every Arsenal player says that now.
No, but it is true, isn't it? If they're going to consider themselves to be a sort of top level elite club,
but they have progressed.
Winning stuff. Oh, absolutely, they've progressed.
There will come a stage in this whole project. Obviously, they're moving to the new stadium and being a regular Champions League club and all the rest of it. There will come a stage at some point where they need to win something.
Yeah,
and I don't think anyone thinks that, you know, Pochettino's able to go away and do whatever he wants for as long as he wants, and that'll be fine. Mm. At some point, they have to make a decision, won't they? I don't think that's come just yet, but at some point they need to win something. I mean, I just think that's the sort of thing that Arsenal players will be asked to say ahead of a fucking North London derby.
part of the
can
press
you spice
junket.
It up,
yeah.
please?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
An FA Cup counts as well. That's what they'll say. And what about this coming out of the Arsenal Cup? Real Betis have reportedly shown interest in signing Jack Wilshere, with Wilshere apparently interested as well. Although Wenger wants him to stay.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great move for Wilshere, would it not?
Yeah, I think so.
He needs a new challenge, clearly.
Go out to Spain, have a lovely holiday.
Southern Spain this time of year.
Is he the type of guy who's going to want to go overseas? I don't know.
Well, apparently he's interested in
it.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think Jack Wilshere has to do something if he wants to get in the England squad for the World Cup, which I think he probably won't if we're still even having this conversation now. It'd be an interesting move for him. But again, though, you're right. It's like, you know, who knows if he has the mentality to sort of succeed in that environment.
But it's like our venerable England goalkeeper. Like, you can go there, but you stay there for one season and go, right, I've done my time.
Yeah,
I've become a sexier proposition.
Well, it's a bit of a different thing, though, because Wilshere wouldn't be alone, would it? It would be a permanent move at this point.
And Joel Campbell's already there on loan.
Exactly.
Bezzies. But I read a transfer, this is fantastic, linking, it's in some of the big publications, linking Marouane Fellaini to Arsenal.
Yeah, it's
and
a
I thought,
one.
Of all the players, like, the most un-Arsenal, un-Arsene Wenger.
And he's not signing a new contract with United, is he? Mm, so he's free to go in the summer. Is that right? Or he can negotiate with a new club in January. And there was the most credible report I read was that he was going to Turkey. I've not seen the Arsenal one.
I don't know. I replacing would
replacing Sanchez with Fellaini. Sounds like a thing that might happen, worryingly.
It would be such a different style for Arsenal to bring in a player like that.
To be fair, though, it's not like they couldn't use it.
Yeah, but I think with Fellaini, he'll always be used, as you say. Mourinho likes him, and other managers have used him quite effectively. I was quite surprised that he wouldn't stay around at Manchester United, unless, of course, he wants to play regularly every week. Exactly. That would be the only thing.
It's not unreasonable, is it? No. I mean, how old's Fellaini? I mean, sort of late 20s, isn't he? He's probably in the prime of his career. He'll want to be playing regularly now.
Yeah, how old is Fellaini, Luke?
He's 29.
29. There we are, you see. So fair enough. Let's move on then to Everton. They will be keeping on David Unsworth for now, at least. This is because Watford have reportedly turned down Everton approaching Marco Silva, and Sam Allardyce has ruled himself out of the running. He said that the club's indecision put him off and he didn't feel wanted enough.
Good sign for Unsworth, isn't it?
Yeah. it seems like a lifetime ago now they had that comeback win against Watford, Everton. Yeah. And it would be exceptionally harsh to move him on after that.
Yeah, quite.
But they've made a run for their own back with that sort of stuff, haven't they, Everton? Because they say, oh yeah, we're going to judge you on this game and then on this game. And it's like, well,
and no one else wants it, so he gets some more games. I'm thinking Gareth Southgate, England job share.
That would be a couple of
jobs nobody wants.
But that 3-2 game was an astonishing game, as far as, you know, Watford obviously went 2 up, and then the keeper had to be subbed off. Gomez, who's been decent enough, and the new keeper came on, and he looked a little bit all over the place, and Everton just smelled blood and were able to do something that maybe we thought was completely beyond them, certainly this season with David Unsworth as manager. So, I mean, it's not surprising that he's still in the job, and it's not surprising that Watford don't want to lose Marco Silva. I heard that they made a decent amount of money offered for Watford, for Silva. I think eight or nine million or something to take him. But he's got no clause in his contract or anything.
Which is clever, Watford said they won't let him go at any price.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's got their price. But it's funny, this coming back to Watford, isn't it, given how disposable their managers have been in the past. But I just feel like Everton just don't seem to have a plan, do they? Because they're looking at people from, like, Sean Dyche and then Diego Simeone, apparently. They're like the parents on My Super Sweet 16 trying to book this megastar, and they don't know who any of them are.
There's
no cohesion.
Because
there.
What's your plan? If you're going after... We talked about this with Palace. If your last two in the shortlist was Frank de Boer and Roy Hodgson, well, what are you trying to achieve? Mm. It's the same with Everton. If you're going after Allardyce, you're essentially saying, we want a bit of solidity for the next 18 months.
Season they offered, wasn't it? Which to me says, come and keep us up.
Yeah, again, yeah, exactly. But if you go after Silva, it's completely different. Simeone, I think, was a red herring, and they were just like, yeah, we quite like him. Everyone likes him.
Yeah. Ancelotti as well.
Yeah, they're just chucking names out there, aren't they? That's Moshiri just piping up, I think.
Well, there we are, you see. Everton are up against Palace at Selhurst Park. So, I mean, a chance for both sides, really. I mean, Palace need the points. They're only on 4. I mean, I know they've had a better time of it under Hodgson, but they've still only got 4 points. It's early days, of course, but 6 points from safety, and they want to narrow that gap. West Ham are away to Watford. West Brom have Chelsea. Swansea away to Burnley. So, I mean, it could be a chance for Palace to gain on the other teams around them. But they need something.
I think Palace have got to look at this game as highly winnable.
Absolutely. Mm.
Inexperienced manager, been up and down with results. Sadly for Everton, that huge comeback win, maybe the sting's been taken out of that because of the international breaks and the momentum might have gone.
I'm really interested to look at that. How Ruben Loftus-Cheek does with the sort of spotlight being a bit more on him.
But he went off injured for England. I don't know if he'll be available. He went off with a... It looked like he got some sort of knock, and he tried to run off and he couldn't. So he might be fine, but there's a chance that he won't be available. But it's a good point, because now everyone knows who he is. Mm. You know, now he's not just a Chelsea loanee and a prospect. Right. Everyone now knows who he is because he played so well.
But have they forgotten about Andros Townsend?
Well, listen, as the famous Dr. Dre song asks, have they indeed? But yeah, Watford do play West Ham at home on Sunday, and you'd fancy Watford there. They're 21-20 with Bet365 to win that one. So £10 will return £20.50, including stake. But some good games this weekend. Good to have the Premier League back.
It's very good to have the Premier League back. So what is our best bet with Bet365, Luke?
Well, we've got a new man in the hot seat, as detailed earlier in the week, and it's Ross Hunter. Roscoe. And he says, good afternoon, all. I would like to suggest a bet for the North London Derby at the weekend, if I may. Tottenham won and scored a penalty in both league games last season. Mm. Or was it not one or one of the games? But they definitely got a penalty in both games. And with Arsenal's defence arguably worse than last season, his words, not mine, Jim, I think there's a fair chance there could be a penalty again. At 6-1, I think Tottenham to score a penalty represents good value and will hopefully raise some good money for a good cause. Enjoy your weekend. Ross Hunter. Now, as Ross says, this is 6-1 with Bet365, and so should it come to pass, it'll return £350, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gambleaware.co.uk. That's Tottenham to score a penalty at 6-1 against Arsenal this weekend.
I think it's a lovely bet, that.
Good luck, Ross.
Very creative, Peter. We haven't seen the likes of that one yet.
No.
It's one you can watch through to the end.
Yeah.
If you went for a Spurs win and then a 3-0 down at half-time, it's like the bet's over.
Yeah.
But I would
be fine with that.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. Yeah, I'm sure you would.
Charity or not.
Well, we are looking ahead to the North London Derby, but let's look ahead to the weekend with our listeners, Luke.
Before I do that, Marcus, Leatherhead are playing Billericay in the FA Cup tonight.
Oh, yeah, they are. They drew 1-1 in the replay.
Are you going straight there?
Probably.
Taking your boots?
Yeah. No, I don't know about that. I don't want to disrespect the lads.
You look like Zlatan.
I'll take my gloves.
Come back in the squad because they've qualified.
It'll be a boost for them to see you in the stands, though, won't it?
I'm waiting for the third round.
I'll play cup games. What have we got? We've got, obviously, as you can imagine, we've got lots of Mila Jedinak related messages, but perhaps they are best summed up by Stephen Mudge, who says, this weekend I'm going to ask Mila Jedinak to marry me.
Nice. Ask the question.
George Heeks says, I'm looking forward to the return of the Premier League, but meanwhile, did you see that Lucas Moura and Marquinhos both became fathers this week, almost exactly 9 months after PSG beat Barcelona 4-0 in the Champions League? Seems it was a fantastic night in more ways than one. This is a man whose name I've included. The next two, I've included them just because of their names.
Right.
First up, Lackland Town.
Wow.
Which is a place, not a name.
It's a lower league club.
Yeah, he plays in the Southern Premier League.
He says, David Moyes putting in a lacklustre performance where he says that the boys tried hard but we were just outplayed after a boring 1-0 loss to Watford. Next guy up, Peterson Hands.
Peter Saint Hands
with a D.
Peterson Hands.
Oh. Was he in? Yeah. Does he work with Sven-Göran Eriksson?
Yeah. Well, listen, Marcus, it's very, very nicely themed along those lines, because he gets included for saying punching my ticket on the Marcus Speller Expressway to Russia with a severe case of cup fever because the Aussies are in.
Oh yeah.
And I wonder if it's too early to talk about Mila Jednak's Ballon d'Or chances.
Well, let me tell you something, and I know you didn't mention him, but I have, and we'll mention him again. There is talk of what's his name? Posteglou. Forgive me for getting that wrong. The Australian manager, the Aussie manager. He may sign a new contract, he may not, and so on and so forth. If that position is available, you need someone with a bit of World Cup experience who can just take over a team.
And next up is David Samuel.
What I will say is that somebody tweeted from the Rambler account, it wasn't me, so I can confirm that amount. It was saying something like, "Oi, oi, Strayer!" And somebody replied saying, "That's very 1980s. I was thinking, you've just ratified gay marriage, mate. Like, I'm aware with yourself.
It was Marcus, and he tweeted, Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi.
Oh, right.
That was you, wasn't it?
It might have.
Yeah. Very 80s.
It was Jim or me. No, they still do that, the Aussies. They still chant that.
All right, they.
Yeah, they.
I'm not having a go at you.
I'm not saying we, because
I'm
not
going to Australia.
I'm not one of them.
Only just sorting their shit out.
Stop trying to show how woke you are by denigrating a country.
Marcus, can you do any Australian impressions?
Yeah.
No, I can't.
Paul Hogan.
Pete does a good Aussie. Go on, Pete.
No.
Oh, he nearly thought about doing
David
that.
Samuel.
Yes, please.
He's heard his name. He's waiting for his entry to be ratified. He says, I'm going to Old Trafford this weekend. If I'm lucky, I might bump into PD. Because Newcastle are going there. Are you going to be there, Donny?
I'm not going to be there, but I'm going to be watching it on the TV.
Well, that means he won't see you.
No.
You might see him.
I might see him in the crowd.
He said Starstruck wouldn't even come close. They do say you shouldn't meet your heroes, and Pete very much falls into that bracket, I would say.
Definitely not in your case.
Anyway, thanks for everyone for getting in touch. I normally take these looking ahead to the weekend posts off the Facebook, which is /footballramble. But you can follow us on all the other social medias as well. /footballramble. Instagram is TheFootballRamble.
That's the one, people. That is the one. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Gentlemen, it's been a ruddy pleasure.
Been a pleasure, isn't it?
Yeah, shame we say goodbye to international football, but of course we say hello to the Premier League, and that's something we can all look forward to.
And in a couple of weeks, it'll be the draw.
Yes, Peter, yes. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, Peter.
See ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.